go ahead and begin to preach this morning. If you'll turn into your Bibles for this communion service, I want us to look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We've been up and down a few times this morning, but I'll give you a rest in a minute. But let's go ahead and stand and read God's word together. I'm begin reading at verse 20, and I'm going to read several verses for the context, but I'm really going to only be focusing particularly on one verse. But in verse 20, it said, "Now when the even was come, Jesus sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." That's a good way to start service, isn't it? I mean, think about it. They're gathered together, this time together, and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it, for this is my blood of," and the first time we encounter this, I want to emphasize it, "the blood of the new." Just stop right there for a minute. The blood of the new. "The blood of the new testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new." Drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. If you could bring back verse 29 there, Jesus said, I mean, at this table, we'll be preaching about this, but this table and all that's going on, all of a sudden, he makes this one word, puts this one word in there that changes everything. He said, I'll not drink of this cup with you again until I drink with it with you new. New. I want to preach this morning. There's a new table for a new time. There's a new table for a new time. This morning, however bad, however stale, however depressing things seem to you, however hopeless things seem to be in your life or with your walk with Christ, I believe he is promising us a new time, a new experience, a new encounter, a new blessing. Hallelujah. He's just that kind of God. Father, bless the preaching of your word. God, help us to leave here having witnessed your doing a new thing in our lives that's only accomplished by your Holy Spirit. We commit the time of preaching to the working of the Holy Spirit. Work in me, Lord, as I attempt to minister, but work in hearts as they hear that we could receive the new from you this morning in Christ's name. And the church said, amen. 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 Thank you. You can be seated. I know that we approach a new year with apprehension. We wonder what this year will hold, what's going to happen. They're already talking about all the bad things that are happening that happened in 2011. So we start asking, well, what's going to happen in 2012? So we approach the new year with apprehension, and this is the new first day of the new year. But it's not just with apprehension we approach the new year. We also approach it with anticipation. I think most of us, we had a little bit of anticipation for this new year. Why? Why? Well, the simple answer is because it's new. It's new. Today is called New Year's Day. New Year's Day. Well, how is it new? I mean, how does just turning the page of a calendar do anything? I mean, how does changing one digit of a four-digit date from 2011 to 2012, how does that change anything? How many knows that 2012 is going to have 12 months in it? Same as last year. Same as last year. How many knows that this year is going to have four seasons? Same as last year. So how is it new? And I hate to bring this up, but how many knows we're going to have to be paying taxes this year just like we did last year in a few weeks? So how is it new? Well, it's new in that it's fresh. It's fresh. It's a do-over. It's a clean page. It's taking a new computer right out of the box. It's new, like just clean, laundried clothes. It's new, like a sunrise. Oh, how many times has there been a sunrise? But every sunrise is new. It's new, like a newborn babe. It's the new, like the smell of baking bread in the oven. It's new, like newlyweds. It's new, like something many of us will never have, but we know what it is. It's new, like the smell of a new car. I mean, the new does excite. The new does bring anticipation. Well, in the text that I read to you, even as he speaks of trouble at hand, Jesus is making everything new. Amen. Think of this. For 1,400 years, the Jews had had this Passover supper. All their lives, the disciples had had a Passover once a year. But all of a sudden, in the midst of the Passover supper, Jesus begins to make it new. He gives it new meaning, new significance, a new perspective. Right there in all the bad that he has to share, Jesus is proclaiming that a new age is coming. A new time is coming. There's going to be a new time with his disciples in a new kingdom, in a new place, in a new way, with new fellowship. I'm just telling you, Jesus is one, amen, that is all about the new. That's why our text says, and I want to read it one more time. He said, in that day, I'll not drink the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I'd like to tell you, on the first day, New Year's Day of 2012, with Jesus, there can always be a new. With Jesus, there's a new start. With Jesus, there's a new life. With Jesus, there's a new day. With Jesus, there's a new beginning. With Jesus, there's new hope. With Jesus, there's a new lease on life. With Jesus, there's a new dream. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus, amen, is about the new. However bad the night, with Jesus, there's a new day coming. However bad the time, with Jesus, there is a new time coming. However old things and stale things have become in our life, with Jesus, there's a new experience. Hallelujah. There's a new blessing. There's a new touch. There's a new word from heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus is about the new. Hallelujah. I'd like to encourage us with that this morning. I want us to look about when the promise of the new was made. When the promise of the new was made. And I'm just going to have us keep looking at that verse. Drink it new with you in the kingdom. I've already alluded to it, but what we call here the Last Supper. I mean, even the title we give it is gloomy. Wouldn't you agree? The Last Supper. I mean, it's a gloomy time. The Bible said it was evening. It was dark. It was night. But beyond that, the Bible says the disciples were very sorrowful. Jesus is speaking about going away and leaving them. Jesus is speaking about one of them betraying them. And as far as they're concerned, their dreams of a kingdom on earth, their dreams of Jesus on the throne, their dreams of overthrowing foreign oppression, as they sat there at the table at what we call the Last Supper, as far as they were concerned, that was the end of the road for their little band. That was the last of the hope that was gone. I mean, this is it. We've come down. He's leaving. Nothing that we've anticipated has happened. Amen. He's talking about betrayal. betrayal. I mean, it was a gloomy, dark time. But here as they sat there at the table with Christ, things couldn't have appeared any worse. I want to drive that home now. We'll get past. Don't leave now. You'll leave gloomy. But Jesus was at the table with them. And yet things couldn't seem any worse. You know, we've had that experience in our life. We've asked that question. We say, well, you know, we serve God, and why are things bad happening? There have been times, Brother Rose, you knew Jesus was at the table with you, and yet things couldn't be any worse. How many knows what I'm talking about? How about a brand new amen this morning? I mean, Jesus was at the table with them, but things couldn't appear any worse. And Jesus even enumerated those things that made things look bad. And yet in the middle of talking about betrayal and talking about dying and talking about all these bad things, in the middle of that, Jesus inserted there this word new to let them know, however bad things are right now, it's not always going to be like this. There's a new time coming when everything's going to be different. There's a new day coming. Oh, I'm glad he used the word new. Can you say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. He's speaking of a new testament, a new age, a time that it will be a new time. He'll sit at the table with him and partake with fellowship and with love. Amen. I know the disciples didn't fully understand that statement, but there in that gloominess, when Jesus used the word new, there was a ray of hope. There was a ray of light that came into the darkness that enshrouded them. Listen, we have come to the Lord's table this morning, and in many ways things couldn't look any worse. We can look at the world scenario. We can look at the economic scenario. We can look at the immorality. And Brother Cruz, in many ways, things could have never looked any worse than they look right now. Not only in our nation, amen, and in the world, but many times even in our church, we've talked about all these sicknesses and battles with cancer and disease. Even in the church, things can look gloomy and dark, and not just in the church, but maybe in your family or your personal life, maybe things have never looked so gloomy, looked so dark, looked so bad. But if you would listen, if you'd open your ears, if we would listen this morning, we'd hear the Master say, it's not always going to be this way. There's a new day coming. There's a new time. There's a new table for a new time. I am the God that makes things new. Hallelujah. I was sharing with someone this week, we were talking about how bad things were, and I briefly mentioned, I simply said it because I was in the act of preparing to preach this morning when the phone call came. I said, well, the thing we need to realize is however bad things are and however dark they are, we serve a God who's able to do a new thing. And the person responded, well, we need to hear that. Well, we're hearing it this morning, and I hope we're hearing it beyond my voice. I hope we're hearing it by the voice of Christ through the Spirit, that however it is at the table with you this morning, amen, we'll gather around this table figuratively this morning, and some hearts are broken, some are in fear, some got this trouble and that trouble. Oh, but wouldn't you listen this morning? He said there's a new time coming for you and your life. Amen. Let's talk about what that promise of the new met. What the promise of the new met. And again, we look at the scripture, until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And I'm not trying to be redundant. I'm just trying to make the point a little differently. Jesus was speaking of his death. It says here in Matthew, he spoke of going away. He had just told his disciples, it's declared to us in John's version, he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Amen. He told him over and over, John, I go away. I'm telling you, it was a dark time, Jesus speaking of his death. But the moment he said, I'll drink it new with you,
The mind had to start racing. The disciples had to start thinking. You've been talking about going away. We can't even come to where you're going. You've been talking about going to Jerusalem and being delivered to the hands of evil men and dying. You've been talking about, and now you're talking about a new time at the table. I'm telling you, the wheels are turning. The light of hope is starting to shine. Yes, he's going away, but if he's talking about the new, he's coming back. Yes, he's talking about death. We don't understand how he's talking about death, but if he's talking about the new, he's talking about a cup on the other side of the grave. Can you imagine the hope that came in the disciples' heart? And what I'm trying to say, Jesus was literally talking about his resurrection. He said, I go away, but the moment he said, I'll drink a new cup with you, he was talking about when he was resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. We talk, and as I've already mentioned, we call this the Last Supper. But as soon as Jesus inserted the word new, amen, that word Last Supper becomes a misnomer. When he put the word new in there, the Last Supper is not going to be the Last Supper. I know sometimes it feels like we have sat down to our Last Supper, the Last Supper of our dreams, the Last Supper of a relationship, the Last Supper of our hope. It appears to be the Last Supper. But if you'd hear the Lord, he's inserting the word new to let you know the Last Supper does not have to be the Last Supper. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the Lord of the new. Amen. Now, some have said, well, you know, when Jesus starts talking about drinking of the cup new with them, he's just talking about the post-resurrection meals. And that was enough to give hope. If he's going to drink with them anew, he's going to have to be coming out of the grave. And we have to think about that. Because here they were starting to think this was the last time they would share bread with him. And they watched him put in the tomb and the stone rolled across it. But here it is days later, and they've been out fishing and draw near to shore. And there he's standing, and he's got fish on the fire. A new table. A new time of fellowship. And so, yes, this is perhaps an illusion to those after the resurrection time when Jesus gathered with his disciples and ate bread and fish with them. But I really believe he was alluding to a completely different age, a completely different time, a completely different place. I think he was talking about the day when he sat down with them in a place called heaven and partook with them in the eternal fellowship of glory. I want to tell you, however dark it is at your table, there is always in Christ, there is always the hope, amen, that one day, hallelujah, we're going to sit down with him in the kingdom of his Father and partake with him. You see, yes, they had bread there and they had wine, but it's really not about the bread and wine. Amen. It's about the fellowship with the Savior. It's about the presence of the Savior. It's about the love. Oh, can you say amen this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. They're sorrowful this time at the table. What they think is the last meal. But Jesus lets them know they're going to a new Jerusalem, a new day, hallelujah, and a new table. Amen. Jesus has already prepared for them for this. He has let them know that it's the old that gives birth to the new. He told his disciples, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Brother Brock, this this year's crop is going to come from last year's crop. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, things in your life may seem to be bad. Amen. Things may be dying out. You might even feel like your experience of God has died out. But I want you to know, Jesus said, in the death of the seed comes a new plant that rises up and produces new fruit and new seeds. I know he was talking about his death and his body being buried in a tomb. And from the death of his body, there was the resurrected Christ. But I think he was also telling us things do die in our lives. We do come to the last, the end. But I think he's telling us, out of our failures, out of our heartaches, out of our broken dreams, out of the dark night, Jesus can bring the new. Hallelujah. The new can rise right up out of the decay of the old and the dying and the dead. Hallelujah. Well, let's just praise him for a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I've been preaching personal, but I'm talking about the church too. I believe he wants to do a new thing in the church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know we've got to be honest. I know we need to assess things as they are, but let's not just dwell on this is wrong, that is wrong, this is not. Amen. Let's dwell on the fact that if we'll turn to God, he'll do a new thing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not talking about something novel, weird, and off the wall. I'm talking about he'll do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. It'll be fresh. It'll be fresh from heaven, like bread right out of the oven. Hallelujah. Last of all, how does this promise of the new apply to us? I've been making some application, but I just want to bring it together here. Again, I want us to look at his words. I'll drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. I want you to think of how many times Jesus had eaten and drank with his disciples over a period of 3 years. Even once a day, you're talking about close to 1,000 times that Jesus had shared a table with his disciples. And yet, all of a sudden, he said, there's a time coming that no matter how many times we have shared the table together, this is going to be a new table and a new cup. This time, it's going to be different. Yes, still bread, still wine, same faces, but I'm going to make it new. Now, I want you to think of how many times we've had communion. We've had communion many times before. We've shared it with the faces around us. We've shared it with the Master many times before. But I want to tell you, by the working of the Holy Spirit, as we share communion today, it can be a whole new time, a whole new cup, a whole new fellowship. He's the one that's able to make it new. Someone was talking to me recently and asked us how many times we had communion. And there's been debate for that forever. I mean, there's some evidence that the New Testament church had communion every week when they met. But he said, we only have it once a year. And I'm not being critical of this statement because I understand it. I'm just sharing it with you. He said, we only have communion once a year because our pastor feels like if we have it more often than that, it'll become so familiar and commonplace to folks that it'll lose its meaning. And by the way, there is that danger. Even having communion once a month, there's a danger. It just becomes so familiar and we're so used to it. It becomes old hat. And I totally understand that thinking. But I want you to know, since Jesus asked us to have this communion, number one, and because number two, when he instituted communion at that last Passover, he said, I have a new time, new cup for you. I really believe this. It doesn't have to be old hat this morning. It didn't have to be something we do by rote and ritual. It can be a whole new experience in communion this morning. I don't want to be stuck to a ritual. Some folks say, well, even, you know, we're stuck in a rut. We know when we're going to sing. We know when we're going to pray. I understand that thinking.
I know that thinking. I understand it. But I want to tell you, there's only so many ways you can mix it up. Amen. It's not whether we have a plan for the service or not. It's whether or not we're going to turn our hearts to God and say, God, we've been here before on a Sunday morning. We had our song service and we had our announcements and we had our preaching before on a Sunday. But oh Lord, we're looking to you to make it new. Brother Steve, you helped me with my illustration. I begin to think about how many times we've sung Amazing Grace. How many times have we sung Amazing Grace? So you've been in church all your life. You've sung Amazing Grace thousands of times. But I want you to, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can get involved and it can be new, a new song. Hallelujah. Don't you know that God makes things new? I mean, there's some scriptures we have read over and over and over, but suddenly it's alive and it's speaking new things. How many times have you heard, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. You might have heard it 10,000 times, but he's a God that can make it new. Oh, God love me. I don't have to perish. God love me enough to rescue me. Amen. It might be the prayer room. You might say, I have visited that prayer room 100 times and nothing happened. Visit it one more time, that same old prayer room. You enter it tonight and all of a sudden he can make it new, and you find you're in the Holy of Holies before the throne of God. I'm telling you, he's a God that makes it new. We ought to know that, because if you're here and you're saved, there was a day when he made you new. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's a God of the new. This year there's going to be a lot of new things. There's going to be new fashions, new products, new fads, new songs, new movies, new trends. But we're not interested in that. We're praying and crying out to God, God, I need a brand new touch. I want to hear a brand new word. I want a brand new experience. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm going to tell someone this morning, with God, it's never too late for a new start. Never. Amen. I want to begin to close with just a few verses here. The Old Testament, Isaiah 43:19. God spoke, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Lamentation 3:22, one of my favorite verses. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He's the God of the new. Ezekiel 36, a new heart I also will give you, also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. We've just went through the parables. He talks about new cloth, new wine, new treasures, new testament, new life. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word we'd use today, he's a new creation. Hallelujah. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. You don't have to sin the old sins of last year. You can be a new creation this morning.
Oh, hallelujah. One more revelation. Before he finished the book, he gave us one more reminder. I know he's speaking about heaven, but it applies to all the works of God. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. I make all things new. Amen. I'm not prophet enough to tell you what we're going to face this year. It is going to be a new time, a different time. But what I do believe, whatever we face this year, we can have a new table for the new year. We can have a new cup for the new things that we might face. Hallelujah. That's what I want to happen this morning. That's why we're praying for revival and renewal. Hallelujah. The music is going to be singing, playing. Would you come and help us this morning? I'm currently reading the biography of Steve Jobs of Apple fame and iPhone fame. And the comparison I'm going to make has nothing to do with character. I can't make that comparison. Many of you know Steve Jobs was fired from the very company, Apple, that he started. But then things got rough at the company. They were about to go under. And so through a series of events, they brought Steve Jobs back to sit at the conference table at Apple. They called it the second coming. We know these things have happened in recent years. We know what happened. Steve Jobs got there and made sudden and drastic changes and saved the company. They were 90 days from bankruptcy. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. But he came in and began to make the changes with the ability and the talent that he had. And when he came back to the table, all of a sudden there was a rush of new products. iMac, iPod, iPhone, iPad. We see it all around us. It's because he was back at the table that all these new things started to happen. I tell you what some folks need to do on this first day of 2012. They need to invite Christ back to their table. And I'll tell you what will happen if you'll invite Christ back to your table. New things will start to happen in your life. I want to say this. I don't want to end on a negative note. But I must say that. I must say this. Jesus promised those that gathered at that table there would be a new table, a new time, and a new cup. But we know the story. One individual never made it to the new table. The betrayer, Judas. I think what is sad is those who, by their decisions to turn from Christ, to turn from his invitation, never make it to the table where Christ can make all things new. We're going to share the Lord's communion. I can't just serve communion in a different way or sing a different song or do it at a different time to make it new. But I'm telling you, Christ can make this communion new all over again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, those that are here that need new life, help them, O God, to open up their hearts to that new life. Help them to right now, having heard the promise of your word that you could make someone completely new, help them to say yes to you. Lord, those that are here this morning, God, and can't quite understand that if you're at the table, why is the night dark? But Lord, if they would instead focus on your promise that you will do a new thing and there's a new day coming, help them to focus. And now, Lord, we commit this communion to you, that it would be a fresh communion, fresh significance, new meaning to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.